And we are a big school district, but we also have at our disposal a multitude of resources. We have a lot of people who work here, and we do our best to make sure that the folks who work for the district, whether they be administrators, counselors, teachers, are aware of the signs to look for. And we also do employ specialists. In addition to our counselors, we have some intervention specialists at our middle school campuses, and they're specially trained in a lot of behavior intervention kind of things. And so they actually serve those middle school campuses and build capacity for our staff there. But we have 35 counselors in the district, and then we have a real quality group of principals who are very attuned to what's going on with their kids, and assistant principals. And we do a lot of training. We train all of our staff. We train counselors and administrators in a significant way and consistently throughout the year. We forward a lot of things to them. We offer a lot of resources for their training. But the key to really cyberbullying particularly, but bullying in general, is to build capacity in our kids. Because gone are the days when we could monitor. A couple years ago, we could monitor when the only computer in the house was a desktop and it was in the middle of the house. And those days are gone. Everybody has portable devices and phones and access everywhere. And so what we do is what we used to do as parents. I'm old, but, you know, when you teach your kids to look both ways when they walk across the street, well, we have to teach our kids to know what's harmful and what's not harmful out there, because ultimately they're going to be making a decision, and we hope that we have built capacity in them to know the difference between what's good and what's bad, and what would harm them and not harm them, what they should put out there in the cyber world and what they shouldn't. And that's what we try to do, is build capacity in our kids and support that with our we do parent trainings and support that in our campuses with principals and teachers and counselors.
What's the best suggestions for parents and for students?
To watch for the signs and symptoms, if there's a change in behavior, for example, a parent, to watch if there's a change in behavior, change in sleeping habits, change in eating habits. You can tell when your kids are stressed, and you know that it's not Friday's test. You can tell. And then certainly then they would want to alert. They can go to a school counselor. They can talk to a principal. They can talk to the classroom teacher. They can talk to an intervention specialist, whomever they feel comfortable sharing the information with. I have a concern. And we take those concerns very seriously, and we follow up on every single one. There isn't a trivial concern. And so we want parents to take a look at their kids' behavior at home and let us know if maybe we need to partner with them to follow a path to find out what's actually going on with that child.
And for the student, historically, there's always, regardless of the generation, there are some that are going to be bothered and troubled by something. And I think generation to generation, we as adults keep telling them, don't keep it inside, don't keep it internal.
Right. And kids have been bothered over time with stressful situations. I think it's more critical now than it's ever been. I think kids now deal with way more than we ever did when we were kids or when my children were growing. I think it's a much tougher world out there to live in. The key, and this is where big schools actually have an advantage over small schools, the key is to connect kids to something. They need to be connected to something extracurricular. They need to be connected to a peer group that mom and dad approve of, that needs to, whether it's Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or church or cheerleading or band or chess club, they need to be connected. And big schools have an advantage because we offer more opportunities for kids to get connected to things. So if your kids are busy doing things that you know are healthy for them, then they're going to develop a peer group that is going to be healthy for them. And that's really key. The kids who get bullied are the loners and the ones who are outside. And so if we can connect them, which is what we do as counselors and as intervention specialists, we connect them with something, we find out what they're interested in and trying to connect them with some sort of activity so that they have a peer group that's healthy for them, then they are stronger. And that's, again, building that capacity to say, no, that doesn't feel right. I think I'll not go. I think I will stay home. And no, I'm going to stop talking to you on the phone because you upset me. The other thing is law enforcement, too. I mean, they can pick up the phone and call Crime Stoppers. Crime Stoppers is a free phone call, and, if they feel like it's that severe, they offer, that service, it's a hotline, and that's a service that's offered in our community as well.
Is the most troublesome part of trying to catch these things early in the process a matter of the trying to get to the root of the issue?
That's where building relationships with kids is critical, and we do that as teachers and educators. We do that as principals. We do that as counselors and intervention specialists. And if you've got that relationship, that trusting relationship with an adult, we ask them, we try to teach them, find an adult. We're not going to tell you which adult. It could be the mom of a girlfriend or the aunt of your grandmother. Contact an adult if you really have a concern. And it's not necessarily the child who's suffering directly. It could be a friend or a friend of a friend. And that's where, with cyberbullying, there's not a lot of privacy there. It's a little bit different than the face-to-face stuff after school. Every bit of it is damaging, and every bit of it is just as harmful and stressful for a child. But this is where we as professionals, and we work with our parents to build those relationships with those kids and have those conversations, and sometimes turn the games and the radio and all of that off in the car and turn the video player off and actually have a conversation with your kids and find out what's going on and what they're doing. But opening those lines of communication are critical.
Is the cyber version more prevalent now than the face-to-face?
I think there's more opportunities at the cyber versions because we have more outlets, between all the social networking stuff and then texting, and they don't really email that much anymore. They're really pretty much on the phones and mm-hmm. texting. There's more opportunities. I don't know that it's more prevalent in that way. I don't know if there's any research on that. I don't know of any.
But regardless of the format, it's damaging regardless of the source.
It's very serious and very damaging.
Is there anything else that I've missed from communicating to, probably it's going to be parents and grandparents of, not many kids will be hearing this, but.
Right. I think, just to repeat what I said before, just look for changes in behavior, mm-hmm. changes in eating patterns, sleeping patterns. Now, some of that is going to be typical maturation as you get through junior high and high school, and you have to weigh the typical with the atypical. But I think when in doubt, you need to talk to somebody. And this is where we do a lot of training here in Bryan ISD with our adult staff, all of our adult staff, and we do parent training as well. So this is where if you really have a question, it would be smart to call somebody.
You made a couple of references to building capacity, and in layman's terms, what does that mean?
Basically, that means that we all, adults, we all need to be in partnership together to teach our kids the difference between what's harmful and what's not harmful, what's safe and what's not safe.
And that's almost a lifelong responsibility.
Absolutely. And we're all in partnership with that. Schools, homes, churches, extracurricular, coaches, band directors, we all need to work on that. Counselors, intervention specialists.
And you could do that with a four-year-old and maybe through the primary grades, and you think you have that licked, but it really is a...
It's continuing education.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Right through adulthood, because there are some adult bullies out there, and typically adult bullies create child bullies. And sometimes, you know, when a child is a bully, you look at the family system, and we've got some dysfunction going on in the family.
I hate to bring up the exception rather than the rule, but as a parent, you can do everything correct. The child knows everything correctly, and through whatever set of circumstances, could still become a victim.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. There's no blame here. There's no one to blame here. This is why we need to teach our kids the capacity to know what's harmful and not be able to make those decisions at a moment's notice. And that's critical.
As well as the importance, again, of having relationships that they can go to.
Very, very important. So they have some adult or adults to go to. It could be a Sunday school teacher or pastor or the band director. I mean, it's important for them to have adult relationships and places where they feel safe. We hope they go to their parents. But in lieu of that, we hope they go to an adult who can support them and help them work it through and report it if necessary.